Today on the Royal Palmcast, we talk with mortgage broker Scott DiGregorio, who tells us about the current state of the mortgage industry and where he expects things to go from here. Scott dives into the societal trends accelerated by the pandemic and how they affect our home purchase decisions. He also discusses ways to get your offer accepted and the role that cash buyers play in today's red-hot real estate market. You can listen in on our conversation starting right now.
Welcome to the Royal Palmcast, the show about everything real estate with a personal touch. From the production studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in Fort Myers, Florida, here's your host, Jim Sanville.
Welcome to the Royal Palmcast. I am indeed your host, Jim Sanville. We are here in the studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association in beautiful, sunny Fort Myers, Florida. With us today, as usual, is Jerry Johnson running the board. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Jerry. Indeed, I am here.
You are here. Sir. All right.
Yeah. Physically and mentally.
You're getting kind of giddy. Christmas is coming right up in a few days.
Christmas does make me giddy.
Getting kind of excited.
I'm wearing my red Christmas shirt.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm mentally sitting under the tree unwrapping cool gifts I'll never get now.
Yeah, as long as they're electronic.
I'm going to play out the fantasy here. I always tell those who would buy me a gift, if they'd be so generous, to give me something that plugs in or takes batteries.
Yeah. And pretty good guide for a guy.
Pretty happy. Hey, we are not here to talk about my Christmas wish list. We're here to talk about mortgages. We have with us in the studio today one of the premier mortgage providers in the Southwest Florida area. His name is Scott DiGregorio. Hey, Scott, welcome.
What's going on?
We are just hanging out here. Wanted to talk mortgages, and luckily you wandered in, and it's going to work out great.
I thought I was just getting directions.
I should mention that this is the show where we talk about real estate. We talk about every aspect of it. We talk about it from the perspective mainly of the realtor. Also, if you're a homeowner, home buyer, home seller, you will definitely pick up some information which will be useful to you and hopefully make you an even more savvy consumer when you are in the process of buying or selling a home. So that's what we do, and we aim to, like I say, cover every topic. This is one we have not touched, I don't think, ever on this podcast, is mortgages. Right, Jerry?
Well, certainly not from the Scott DiGregorio perspective.
No. So we brought in the best. We brought in the big guns, the heavy hitters, and so he is here. First, Scott, you've been in the mortgage business for, what, 25-plus years, right?
Yeah, a long time.
Tell me about kind of your background story. Where are you from, and how did you happen to get into this business?
So, like everybody else, I grew up as a young boy dreaming of being a loan originator. Ah. That's not true. So, born and raised in New York City, moved here with my parents when I was in college. I was studying architecture, and I moved down here. The FGCU had to be built for me to take the classes I needed. So I got a job selling copy machines, and one day I walked out of an electrical supply company in Cape Coral. And this gentleman followed me out, and he said, "Scott, you have been knocking on a door every Friday for a year and a half to sell us a copier." And I said, "Great, are you ready to buy?" And he said, "No, I'm ready to hire you. I'm opening up a mortgage company." And I am thankful that he did not relent, and he stayed on me, and he eventually paid for my license. And he said, "You could do it part-time. I'll pay for the license." And I closed one loan and genuinely fell in love with it.
It's, really?
I cannot imagine me doing something else at all.
Yeah, that's an interesting kind of way to get into the mortgage business. But you're comfortable with Excel and numbers and all that stuff. You love that?
I do, and it's I find the problem solving piece of it to be super enticing to me, because you know, how do you take somebody's financial situation, fit it into 4,000 pages of guidelines, and find a way to put that puzzle together in a way that's good for the consumer, in a way that meets the guidelines? Every single deal is a unique puzzle, and that the challenge of that just keeps me excited every morning.
Very cool, very cool. So you were selling photocopy machines?
I was. Yeah. I was a door-to-door salesman for Toshiba.
Toshiba, huh. Are you up on photocopier technology these days?
Or? They keep getting smaller and smaller and being needed less and less.
Yeah. When I was a kid, way back, my father worked for a copy machine company. One of the first ones, it made what they call photostatic copies. Mm-hmm. It was called a Pico. You ever heard of them?
I have not.
They are obsolete now. They don't exist. But these machines, I remember he would bring them home. He would repair them. Mm-hmm. This is kind of his side hustle. And they were monstrous and super heavy and complex and full of chemicals that we ought not to have had in the house, I'm sure. But we got through that. So photocopies to mortgages. Let's take a look, if you don't mind, Scott, at kind of the state of the mortgage business in as we approach 2022 here.
Sure.
Where are we at, and where do you think we're going?
You know, I think we're in an interesting time, and I think this transition happened a couple of years ago. I think it was on its path, but I also think that COVID maybe moved up the timetable quite a bit. And what I mean was, the mortgage industry has always been the basis was get real estate agent partners, take care of them, receive their referrals. And everything was very old school, paper and pen. And I think that started to shift with the internet, with homes being listed online. I think consumer direct is an important thing. And I know I transitioned my business to receive. I'm about 40-50% consumer direct now. And I started that transition about 4 or 5 years ago when I saw it. What's interesting now, though, with COVID is we've really moved to a digital place. I think when the internet really got going was right around the time that the real estate collapse happened. And I think as a result of that, technology didn't come into our ballpark. You know, it came in a lot later than it did everywhere else. But it's here now, and it's here in a big way. And electronic applications and Zoom meetings and things like that are the norm. They used to be a goal of mine, and now it's the norm. And I think it enables us to maybe serve a larger base of clientele. I think that it enables us to be a little bit more efficient. What we have to be careful of, and this applies to both mortgages and real estate, is we don't go too all in where we're losing the personal touch, we're losing the personal guidance in the relationship. I was very nervous in switching to Zooms that I was going to lose my rapport building. And frankly, I don't think there's been any reduction in that at all. I think two people could look at each other through their computer screens and connect eyes and, you know, connect their eyes with each other, feel emotions and connect. Mm. So I think that that's a big piece of it. And I think technology is going to continue moving forward to play a larger and larger role in things. We're starting to move to the point where, thankfully, a lot of the documentation we need from people is being done through third-party electronic providers. All of this leads to more efficiency in the industry.
Mm-hmm. I should mention that you are with Primary Residential Mortgage. You're the branch manager at the Fort Myers office here, correct?
That is correct. My office on College Parkway.
Uh-huh. Gotcha. Now, you said something about consumer direct. 43% of your business is consumer direct. What's the other kind or other kinds of business?
The rest of it is realtor-based and past client-based.
Okay.
Yeah,
really the realtor out.
Exactly. You know, every agent listening to this, I'm sure, recently has had the experience where somebody called them up and said, hey, can you show me 123 Main Street? And when I do my classes, I ask the audience, like, do you realize that those people have decided to buy, selected a neighborhood, selected a price point, selected a house, all on their own? Where 3-4 short years ago, that work was being done alongside a real estate professional and mortgage professional. So, and very often by the time that phone call happens, they've already been pre-qualified. They've been online to one of the big lenders or the local bank or somebody like me. So it was very obvious to me that starting to market through videos, through social media, things like that, get my name out there, the branding piece of it is becoming more and more important. And I think for both real estate and mortgage, it's really the wave of the future is to build your personal brand. And that will always have value regardless of what the financial technology companies do to get in the way of things.
Mm-hmm. How competitive is the mortgage business these days?
Extremely competitive. You know, we're in a time now where the market is sizzling hot. Cash buyers are everywhere. Getting finance offers accepted gets harder and harder. And people are fighting for this frenzy. The other thing that's happened recently, again, both industries, more and more people are flocking into the industry with the promise of, you know, quick, easy money. Anybody who does this well knows that there's nothing quick or easy about it. Mm-hmm. But it sounds that way nowadays because of what everybody hears. So people that might not otherwise be in the business are in the business now. And although they're not doing much, You have 1,000 new people in the area. They're each taking one deal here, one deal there. Before you know it, the pie's getting cut into smaller pieces.
Yeah. Now, I think I could guess what kind of differentiates the various mortgage companies. But let me just ask you, how are they different? What are the different models?
So, man, that's a big question. How much time do we have here?
Keep riffing.
So, you know, to break the mortgage industry down, I would say there's probably three big buckets. You have mortgage brokers, which are middlemen. They act as an intermediary between the customer and the ultimate lender. You have mortgage banks or depository banks, which is any bank in town that you could open up a checking account in, the big boys of the world, as well as some of the smaller community banks, credit unions, et cetera. And then the third bucket is where I'm at, which is a mortgage banker. A mortgage banker, you're lending your own money. A lot of times you're keeping the loan and servicing them. You're making the decision. All of that stuff is done internally, yet you can't open up a checking account with us. I can make an argument really for the pros and cons of all of them, but I think at the end of the day, the category a professional falls into is less important than the individual themselves. Mm. Do they do what a lot of people do in that somebody walks up and says, I want to buy a house for $400,000, put down 20%, do I get it? And a lot of people say, yes, you do. I think the higher level professionals will very often do things like, do an analysis of their overall financial situation. Ask the question, is that what they want to do? Is that what they should be doing? Does that fit their situation now and in the future? So I think all three categories have some really outstanding professionals, lots of them in the area of my friends. So it's really a matter of finding somebody that connects with the individual.
Yeah, that very point was made by a recent guest we had on the Royal Palmcast, Ned Hale, a mm-hmm. local attorney, who strongly recommended to our listeners that they find someone local like yourself as opposed to a big, faceless, monolithic entity that you're working with online.
Yeah, it's a really, really good point. And, I think, again, especially in this competitive market, Jim, I think a lot of people lose out on some of the benefits there. If the listing agent receiving the offer is familiar with the name on the bottom of the qualification letter, that offer just moved up in its importance level. So working with somebody who has a local reputation, has relationships with local appraisers, we could do a whole episode on appraisals. Those relationships really make a difference, and it could help the transaction get approved. It could help the process go smoother and close more quickly. And a lot of time that's lost. A lot of people think that, it's all about the numbers. And although the numbers are obviously important, getting the offer accepted is really, a primary focus right now. And the name at the bottom of that letter absolutely makes a difference. So I agree with Ned Hale emphatically.
Yeah. Now, I'm not house shopping now. I was a year ago, and I wish I'd pulled the trigger then because the market was quite a bit different. But can you tell me what has changed in the industry since you started in the business? What are the big changes?
So when I started in the business to age myself, we filled out applications with paper and pen. We filled out good faith estimates with pencil. And, when I first got into the business, things were a little bit more rigid than they are now. And then obviously into the late 90s and early 2000s, things went stupid. Then things got really rigid again. I feel like as an industry now, from a guideline standpoint and whatnot, I feel that we're kind of back into a happy place where it's not so rigid that lots of qualified people are getting kicked out of the industry where they can't get anything approved. And it's also not so kind of loosey-goosey where everybody gets a mortgage. Because right. I've said for years, just like not everybody should be self-employed, not everybody should be a homeowner necessarily.
Mm-hmm. How do you compete with cash? If you need to get a mortgage because you don't happen to have $500,000 in cash lying around, mm-hmm. how can you compete with that? Would home sellers even consider talking with people who are going to use a mortgage?
I think it's a difficult question. I've had a lot of buyers frustrated lately in trying to get their offers accepted, and they're saying it's not fair. And although I can appreciate the sentiment, the reality is if they were the seller, they would probably do the same thing. So I think you have to look at the big picture of things. Again, I think working with a local lender makes a difference. I know when my buyers are putting in offers, I'm always trying to call the listing agents, let them know, hey, I have everything we need. We could close quickly. They've been through underwriting, whatever it is. So I think some positioning goes a long way. Price is obviously a factor, but beyond that, what are the other terms? How quickly is the loan going to get approved? How quickly can you get the mortgage closed? All of these things come into play. What I tell my clients now is that they have to, you know, if they're losing out on the cash versus finance piece of it, they have to win on some of the other components of this to make it work. I have a client closing now where the seller is going to rent back the place for a couple of months. And that was the difference. Their flexibility in that was the difference in getting them to have their offer accepted. So I think we really got to look at the big picture, and a good real estate professional is going to help guide them through that and ideally work in tandem with their mortgage professional, so that way they're working as a cohesive unit to get that offer accepted.
Now, the cash purchase of a home is, to me anyway, a relatively new phenomenon. Where are people getting all this cash, and do they buy with cash now more than 10 years ago?
So yes, cash is a big part of the market now. I think over 60%. And I have a brother that lives up in New Jersey, and he was down here looking at houses, and you know, in the low seven figure range. And he was looking around, and he said, "Man, they practically give houses away down here." And I said, "How could you say that?" And he said, "Do you have any idea how little this price point buys you where I am?" So I think a lot of people, especially now with COVID, there's a lot of people relocating down here. The work from home phenomenon is a big thing. I call it urban desertion. I do a lot of videos on my Facebook to talk about these things. So there's a lot of people selling their houses in New York, New Jersey, Philadelphia, big, big price markets, and moving down here, and they just don't want a mortgage. Mm. Now, my brother, who is a financial advisor up in New Jersey, and all the other financial advisor people I know, would say very pointedly that keeping that money in the market and leveraging real estate is a better tool long term. What a lot of real estate agents and members of the public don't realize is that you could actually pay cash for a house and immediately thereafter pull the money back out in something called delayed financing, which is an interesting tool. You get the negotiation benefits of being a cash buyer, but long term you end up with a finance leverage deal, which again I can run an analysis and prove the financial benefit of that in many cases.
I have what may be considered a ridiculous question, but I'm gonna go out on a limb and ask it anyway. Jerry, you got my back, right?
I got you.
When you say cash buyer, are there people? Let me back up. I know certain cultures, people are used to paying cash. And when I say cash, I mean a wad of bills. Mm-hmm. I know a good friend of mine bought a car recently with a fistful of $100 bills, and I was shocked. Really? People do that where you're from? Yes, yes, we spend cash. Do people ever bring suitcases of cash to a closing?
So back in the day, that happened. When the Patriot Act passed after 9/11, there's actually a lot of rules that were put in place, and that's just simply not allowed anymore. If you're going to buy a piece of real estate with cash, the money has to be sourced and seasoned and documented. In fact, the Treasury Department just this week, I want to say Monday, said that they are looking into, this is very early, so it may not happen, but they're exploring the option of regulating cash transactions, cash real estate transactions, because a lot of people are using it from a money laundering standpoint. So there are more flexibilities today than there probably will be in the future. I know that if you're getting a mortgage, if you're trying to pull money out of your sock drawer, it's just simply not going to work. We have to find another means. Same thing, I'm running into it more and more with cryptocurrency now, where the currency is residing on a USB drive, and we can't prove that it's their money. And it gets frustrating because I'm sitting down with a client, I have a relationship with them, I know them, I trust them, I know the whole story, but the guidelines don't work that way. So if anybody is listening to this and they have a buyer that's wanting to get a finance, you know, finance transaction, and they talk about pulling cash out of a sock drawer or something, make sure they loop the mortgage professional in so we can get ahead of that curveball before it gets bad.
Yeah. You don't want any mattress money showing up.
Exactly.
And derailing the deal. Yeah, we're going to have to take a quick break here, Scott. So if you don't mind hanging out with us for a couple of minutes, we will be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Jason Jacobs, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Hi, I'm Carolyn Johnson with Goodwill Industries of Southwest Florida, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast.
Hi, I'm Bill Risser, and you're listening to the Royal Palmcast with Jim and Jerry. This place is amazing.
Do you know a student who could use help with college tuition? Well, if you're a realtor and you have children, this may be for you. The Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association has announced the creation of the Kevin Williamson Scholarship Program for sons and daughters of realtors who are pursuing higher education. To qualify, students must be Florida residents and have at least one parent who's a realtor. Scholarships start at $1,000, and applicants are judged based on extracurricular activities, financial need, and other criteria. This program is named in memory of our late president-elect, Kevin Williamson, who was well-known in the community for his generous support of those in need. For eligibility and criteria information, visit the rpcra.org website. Click on the magnifying glass search icon, type in scholarship, and press enter. Then click on scholarship from results. We wish the best of luck to all.
We hope you're enjoying the Royal Palmcast, a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association, your association for realtor resources, services, and education in Southwest Florida. We're committed to the success of all our members and advocate for property rights, both commercial and residential. We continue our efforts educating and influencing policymakers at all levels about issues important to realtors and homeowners. RPCRA also leads the way with community involvement, market analysis, and member engagement, all of which contribute to a superior realtor experience. With two convenient locations in Fort Myers and Cape Coral, the staff of RPCRA is here for you. You'll find us online at rpcra.org and across social media, including Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, SoundCloud, and all major podcast apps. Be sure to subscribe, like, share, and follow us to stay current on all our upcoming classes and events. Now, back to Jim Sandville and the Royal Palmcast.
Welcome back to the Royal Palmcast. I am Jim Sandville. We are here in the studios of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association with our guest. Our guest today, as you heard before the break, is in the mortgage business. His name is Scott DiGregorio, and he is a branch manager at Primary Residential Mortgage in Fort Myers, Florida. Been in the mortgage business for 25 years and knows his stuff. So we're going to continue our conversation. By the way, Jerry, did you notice how good a presenter Scott is? Do you know why that is?
I have actually seen Scott in action several times at our education center, but I would like for you to enlighten me and tell me why that is.
Let me tell you some fun facts about Scott. He is in the media business himself. He's a podcaster, a YouTube presenter. Tell us about your podcast. What's the name of it?
So my podcast is called Real Estate of Tomorrow, and you know, like I mentioned earlier with the changes in the mortgage industry, I think the real estate industry is on the cusp, and it's already gone through unprecedented change, and that is what it's about. There's, you know, there's all kinds of ups and downs with Zillow's, there's iBuyers, there's a big MLS lawsuit that not a lot of people are talking about. So I think the industry is changing in a big way. I also think, you know, I referenced earlier that people now are deciding to buy selecting neighborhoods, price points, houses on their own. I think the real estate agents of tomorrow need to understand the shift and change their value proposition with it. Sometimes when people hear the beginning of me talking about this, they kind of take it as a doom and gloom thing. But the truth is this, during disruption comes the greatest opportunity. During the crash between 2011 and 2015, I grew my business, my volume, 500%.
Really?
During a time where property values were in the toilets. So, and that was because I seized the disruption that was on there. And I think we're on the cusp of that again. And that's what the podcast is about. I release an episode every other week on Monday. And, Real Estate of Tomorrow podcast.
Real Estate of Tomorrow. Find it on your podcast machine. We recommend it. We have Scott teach some of the classes here that are related to mortgages at our Realtor Association, and he is always well received by the local realtors. Now, we talked, you just alluded to it, but we talked a little during the break about the changing attitude that home buyers have toward realtors and how their relationships have sort of evolved. Tell me about that.
So, you know, it's very interesting when people don't realize that their personal behaviors have changed. I find so many people that purchase one way and try to sell in a totally different way. And, you know, one of the stories that I kind of reflect back on in this as far as changing consumer behaviors, growing up as a boy in New York City, you know, you were taught don't talk to strangers, don't ever get in a stranger's car and all of those things. And when I raised my kids now, we're 16, 18, and 20. And when they were young, I raised them the same way. Don't talk to strangers, don't get in cars. Yet when my kids were 14, if it was more convenient for me, I would tell them to call an Uber to give them a drive and not think anything. Not only would I think it's less safe, I would in a lot of ways think it's more safe. So, you know, people are changing, their expectations are changing. And a lot of the information and expertise that the public used to rely on real estate professionals to provide to them, the truth is they could get it themselves now. So I think the opportunity, and the same thing holds in the mortgage industry, I think where the opportunity really is abundant is looking for where are those holes in the information out there. And if you could become the provider of knowledge and be able to fill those holes, the opportunity to grow your business is bigger than I've ever seen it right now. And I think that that is something that, you know, that people need to be focused on. I think the old, you know, the old mindset of, hey, let me find houses that meet your needs, or let me pull comps in your area to see what you could sell your house for, whether it's accurate or inaccurate is somewhat irrelevant. The public perception, and perception's everything, is that I don't need a person to do that for me. I could do it myself. And that is a very, very, very dynamic shift in mindsets. And I think that shift can hurt people or give people tremendous opportunity, depending on whether or not they see it and seize it.
Mm-hmm. What kind of mistakes are you seeing people make when they approach you? In terms of what their expectations are,
I think that I think a lot of people. You talk about from a client standpoint.
Consumer, yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of people do not think about the long term impacts of the decision they're making. That they're making a decision based on today's situation when this is a long term decision. I had a client not that long ago who was telling me her husband owned a pool cleaning company. He was looking to retire in a couple of years. And when he retired, he was going to sell it for a relatively nominal amount of money. And she was buying this house and for whatever it was, $400,000 or $500,000. And I said, when your husband retires in 4 or 5 years, how are you going to pay for this house? And she said, I hadn't thought about that. And I said, well, look, if this house is worth your husband working longer, cool. I mean, I'm not here to make that decision, but you need to go home and you guys need to have this conversation. And, you know, she was buying a house that was, I said, why this house? And she said, well, it's direct Gulf access. I said, oh, you're a boater. She said, no. I said, then why does that matter? She said, it's pretty to sit by the water. I said, you could go to a freshwater house and save a whole bunch of money and your husband could retire. So I think that those types of things, I see that like those types of things is one big mistake people make. Another mistake people make is they try to get themselves prepared for the mortgage process. Maybe they're fixing their credit or, hey, I'm going to pay off these old collections or pay off these credit cards or what have you. And the mortgage industry has become very complex. And, you know, like anything else, you go online, you get a lot of okay information, but a lot of bad information. And the regulation components of my world, the compliance component, prevents people from putting a lot of content out there. I'm able to do it, but there's not a lot of good information out there, so people are misinformed. Mm. And a lot of times when they're trying to quote-unquote help themselves, they're actually pushing themselves in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. So looping in a true professional to help guide them and prepare them. I speak to many people that are 6 and 12 months out from getting something, mm-hmm. but I'm helping them put their things together. You know, maybe walking in a self-employed person, walking into their accountant's office saying, I want to pay as low as taxes as possible, no matter what. maybe that's not the right conversation if you're thinking about buying a house in a year or two.
Mm. You know, you mentioned people not taking into account things like retirement. What I've always wondered is why would a bank or an institution give money to someone to buy a house if they're 70 years old and they want a 30-year mortgage? How does that make sense? I don't get it.
So a lot of that has to do with just discrimination laws. You're not allowed to discriminate, you know, fair housing and fair lending. You're not allowed to discriminate somebody based on age, you know, race, religion, et cetera. So I did a loan. It was actually a reverse mortgage for a gentleman that was 98 years old. Not that long ago, I did another loan for somebody recently who was 88. And we're sitting down at my desk and we're going over everything. And he looks at me at one point and he goes, "You know I'm dead long before I pay you back, right?" And I said, "I'm rooting for you, sir, but I'm aware that the statistics aren't working in our favor. But there's just no components of it. Back in the day, it used to be impossible to get a mortgage if you were above a certain age. If you were a female of childbearing age, it used to be impossible because they would assume you're going to stay home with your children. And thankfully, laws were passed that made all of that illegal. So it's just not a factor.
So these days, if someone is of an age where they may not be expected to live for the full term, if they're gone in 10 years and they have no heirs or people to assume the bill, they're stuck holding the title.
I mean, and, you know, in that situation, the probate kicks in and the state kicks in and whatnot. And, you know, some houses do go back to the banks in those situations. Way more often than not, there's something that the house is left to, even if it's a animal shelter. So things are handled better in that way, but age has no part of the decision-making process.
Sure. Yeah, I get it. All right. Well, I do want to talk about reverse mortgages and other alternatives, but we're going to do that actually in a different show. So I want to give a plug to that show. The next show we do with Scott will be about those alternative programs and some of the...
You don't want to miss that. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. Don't miss that one. But now, I think Jerry knows where I'm going right now. I'm coming to my favorite part of the program, Scott. This is called, and I think I warned you about it, the lightning round.
That sounds intimidating.
It can be, but it depends on, you know, how you approach it. Now, the lightning round is a kind of a big deal. It's the part of the show where we get to know you even better as a person and find out a little bit about your favorite things and what makes Scott DiGregorio tick. So that's what we're going to do now. And we have just a few questions. We're looking for soundbite answers. Don't overthink it. I'm going to ask Jerry at this point to hand me the questions. By the way, I don't know if you listen to this show all the time, Scott, but if you do, you know that Jerry, on show days, will get up super early, 3 a.m., I believe. he's fallen asleep at the board. 3 a.m.
3 a.m.
3 a.m. He drives out to beautiful North Fort Myers, Florida, where we have, at a secret location, today's lightning round questions stored on official game show host 3x5 index cards in a super box at our secret location. Jerry has retrieved them. He came in very early this morning to the office, and he's going to open the super box.
And Scott can physically see the super box.
I can.
I'm going to make an attempt.
It's an actual super box. Jerry is fiddling with this. He doesn't seem to know how to operate it.
There we go. There we go.
Yes, I told you last week, Jerry. You're banging on the side.
I know.
Okay.
I got it.
All right. I do have the official, if they weren't official, I couldn't do that, cards with me right now. So we're going to jump right into the lightning round. All right. You ready for your first lightning round question, Scott?
Let's do it.
All right. Where would you live if not in Florida?
If I was not in Florida, I would live back in New York City.
Oh, okay. And what borough?
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, where you're from.
Yes.
All right. Go Nets.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Go Mets, Nets, and Jets, right?
I'm the opposite on all three of those, but that's cool.
Well, they rhymed.
I was going to say my three don't rhyme, so it's not as cool.
All right. I'm about to ask you the most controversial question. This one can actually stir people up. It's some passionate debate. Cats or dogs?
Dogs.
You're a dog guy.
Easy. In fact, I got a new puppy today.
Oh, you did?
I did.
You must tell us. What kind of puppy?
We got a Burmadoodle.
Burmadoodle?
That's a Burmese mountain dog and a poodle.
Wow. Wow. How big will it get?
Bigger than the breeder told me is my guess.
Oh, yeah. That's usually how that works out. Well, that's very interesting. Good luck with your sleep this weekend.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. This one is multiple choice, and I think I know what Scott's going to do with this one. Is it you guys, yous, or y'all?
It's you guys.
Really?
Yeah, it's you guys.
I thought you'd be a used guy.
No, definitely not used. It's definitely you guys.
Okay, fair enough. I shouldn't prejudge. All right. Hey, when was the last time, Scott, that you saw snow?
Probably 5 years ago, visiting my brother up in Jersey.
Okay, all right. What's your guilty pleasure? Something you typically don't reveal.
Well, I mean, by the very nature of it, I typically don't reveal it.
Except here. I should add that sentence into the questions.
Okay,
Jerry.
So I will tell you this. I don't indulge in this often. A bowl of Breyers chocolate ice cream, and you're going to make fun of me, but I pour milk over it.
Milk over the ice cream?
The milk forms like a little crystal coating on the outside of the ice cream.
Is this whole milk? Skim?
Whole milk. Breyers chocolate ice cream.
Wow.
Don't judge me. Just try it. You'll thank me.
No, I did this as a kid. I would stir up vanilla ice cream with a little milk and tell my sister to eat her mashed potatoes. Yeah. I don't know. I just eat it myself. Tell me what your stance is on this. Socks with sandals, yes or no?
No.
No way. No way.
Easy.
All right. Which iconic movie did you never see that everyone's still buzzing about 30 years later or whatever it is?
Oh, my. That's a tough one, Jim. The Sound of Music.
Sound of Music? Okay. For me, it's Star Wars. Not that you need to know that.
That's
but
a classic
Jerry, movie. How about you? I always wanted to ask you that.
I think there's not a classic movie I don't think I've seen. Yeah. I even watched Gone with the Wind all the way through.
What do you mean, like even? See. That's one of the top.
Well, there you go. That's fine.
That's aggressive. It's a long movie.
Yeah, it is. But, okay.
I did watch Citizen Kane, thanks to Jim's recommendation.
Oh, I love that.
That was pretty interesting.
Rosebud. Yeah. All right, no spoilers here.
I have no idea.
All right. Tell me about some of your favorite things now. Your favorite movie?
Pulp Fiction.
Good one.
It's a classic.
Food.
My sauce.
Your marinara?
Yeah, my sauce. And by the way, if anybody's listening, it is not gravy.
It's not gravy.
It's sauce.
Sopranos said gravy. I was just going to ask you about that.
They were from the wrong part of Italy.
My wife's parents are from Italy, and she grew up speaking Italian in an Italian-Brazilian household.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, pass the gravy. She said, what are you talking about? So I said, I meant the marinara.
So is my sauce a brand, or that's your sauce?
It's your own recipe? It's my family recipe.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, do you do the chef's kiss every time you make
it? It's the only way to make it.
All right. What's your favorite sport as a viewer?
Football.
Football. And as a participant?
Football.
Football. What would you play? Do you play?
I was free safety. I mean, back in high school, 100 years ago. I also love to shoot pool.
Interesting. Wow. All right. What's your dream car?
A Tesla Model S.
Strong. All right. What restaurant do you like to take out-of-town clients or friends to?
I like Angelina's a lot.
Angelina's, where is that? Fort Myers?
Down in Bonita.
Bonita.
Yeah.
Not familiar. Jerry, do you know?
Haven't been to that one.
Angelina's?
Oh, add it to the list, Jim.
I'm going to make a note of that. I've got so many great restaurant suggestions. COVID really messed me up because I'm way behind now. All right. I hold in my hand the last lightning round question, Scott, and here it is.
All right, let's do it.
This is the big one. You get one bucket list item. What is it?
I had a 23-day trip to Europe planned last year, and COVID interrupted it.
Oh.
So a time machine to go back and do that trip at that time.
No, you will do it. I will do it, but
the kids will be older and the dynamic shifts. So a bucket list item is a time machine to go back there.
So you have, teenagers now, right?
Yeah, 2018 and 16. So I'm just starting to stick my toe in the empty nester stage.
Yeah, well, you'll enjoy that, I'm sure. Although it'll be great to have the kids visit frequently.
I'm learning pros and cons with every stage.
Oh, I'm right there with you, my friend.
Yes, indeed. Hey, Scott, I want to thank you for coming in to be a guest with us today, telling us about the mortgage industry. And where can people get in touch with you if they want to connect?
So website is FortMyersMortgageExpert.com. That's also my handle on all the social media platforms. I'm very, very active on Facebook. I post videos all the time. The podcast, of course, Real Estate of Tomorrow. That's really YouTube. Same thing, Real Estate or Fort Myers Mortgage Expert is the easiest way to find me.
And your last name is spelled?
Di Gregorio, D-I-G-R-E-G-O-R-I-O. And I always tell people the way to learn how to pronounce it, the letter, the name, the cookie, Di Gregorio.
Di Gregorio.
Yeah. It flows.
I like it. Yeah.
It flows.
Yeah, that's nice. All right. Yeah. Jerry, I want to thank you, too, for running the board.
Wow.
Doing a great job.
Jim. I appreciate that. Yeah. I thank you as well.
It's my pleasure to be here. I want to thank you, our listeners, for finding us on your podcast machines, because without you, there would be no reason for the three of us to be hanging around here talking into microphones. So thank you for being there as well. And I want to thank everyone here at the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association for all of their help and support. If you want to get in touch with us at the Royal Palmcast, please do so. We would be very happy to hear from you. You can send us an email to shows@rpcra.org. And that will be it for this week's episode of the Royal Palmcast. We'll look forward to seeing you again next time.
Thanks for listening to the Royal Palmcast. Be sure to listen again every week on your favorite podcast app and visit the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association website at rpcra.org and our social media pages, including Facebook and our YouTube channel. Check out all of our RPCRA platforms and make sure to subscribe and share. For information about this show or other RPCRA productions, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at shows@rpcra.org. This has been a production of the Royal Palm Coast Realtor Association.